ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Father, we bless you this morning. Luke chapter 14, as we push further in our series of teachings on the family. I'd like to speak today on the ideal family. This series, please understand, whether you are married, it is a series that is meant for you, because God wants to enrich your relationship. Whether you are single or you're single hoping to be married one day, you must understand what is the purpose of God concerning the family. Or maybe something went out of place in your relationship and you are separated. God still wants you to understand His ideal for the family unit. Or whether you are already divorced, maybe you are just, at this time, you're looking whether to get married or not. God still wants you to understand that idea of family. Or you are presently a single parent trying to get life with your kids. God still wants you to have an understanding. Or maybe you are even out there, you just don't want to marry at all. Even at the back of your mind, because you are involved in other form of relationship with people, it's still a family thing. God wants you to understand. We started this series of teaching by just, there are four key things that I mentioned, four key important elements. I mentioned it last week, Sunday, and I think on Wednesday I repeated it, so I'm just going to start with it. Number one, God believed and started the concept of the family. It wasn't God's, it wasn't man's initiative. Genesis 1:26 talks about that. He said, let us. So God has a family, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we said God has a family in heaven. And then here on the earth, His family presently in heaven, I mean the Trinity, the angels, and then the saints of old who are passed, and every of our loved one who are passed into glory. There is family in heaven, but you and I who are alive on this part of eternity are also His family. Ephesians 3:14 gives us that understanding. He said, I bow my knees to the Father, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Thirdly, we said, God designed us to live in families. Whether you walk in a workspace, it's still a family in the eyes of God. Because God expects us to intermingle. God expects us to have relationship with other people. If you are married, you have a nucleus family. But all other relationships, they are like extended family relationship to you. So God designed us to live in family. And Psalm 68 verse 6, we said, even the solitary, God has set in families. And fourthly, God has a model template for the family. I mean, earlier on, Pierce mentioned that it wasn't man's prerogative. It was God. And in Genesis 2:24, it says, therefore, for this reason, which he has stated from verse 18, he said, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So God has a model for the family. And wherever you see family, families engage or engages love, open communication, sincerity, responsibility and respect among all our members. So this morning, we just push it further. So Luke chapter 14, if we read verse 28 to verse 30, we use that scripture for planning, for commitment to Jesus and all that. But I just want to draw that as my thought that we fit into today's teaching. In Luke chapter 14, verse 28, it said, "For which of you intending to build a tower?" A tower here, for the sake of our teaching today, represents the family unit. "Which of you intending to build a family will not sit down first and count the cost?" The cost attached to family is the cost that I've highlighted. Love, open communication, sincerity, responsibility, respect. That's a cost. He said, "Sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it." He said, "Least or less, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who sees it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" So the family, that ideal family, is that unit of people who have chosen to be together, who have chosen to embrace a bond, powerful and a strong force, that even the slightest trials and troubles of life cannot destroy. In many cultures of our world, you know, the way the concept of the family is important to many people. In Hawaii, for example, they use the word ohana, O-H-A-N-A, which simply means family. When people have issues, they pronounce that word to show their commitment, to show that love, that sustaining force that will take them through that situation and circumstances. So ohana in Hawaii means family. It means we are blood related. It means we are together. We are intentional in all that we do. It means that this is a nest. This is a community where nobody gets left behind or forgotten. That is a family, whether in the workspace, whether in the marital situation, whether in a community. I mean, we are together. No one is left behind. That is the kind of ideal family that God has also has in mind. In Africa, we use the word Ubuntu, which means family. It means I am because you are. It means I am a person, and then you are also, I'm a person, but I survive through you as another person. That word represents survivor. It represents solidarity. It represents spirit. It represents compassion. It represents respect. It represents dignity, which in most cases, these are the things the family unit stands for. What are the types of family that we have developed over time? The first category that I want to mention is, I mean, in our world, this is the things that you see. We have what we call, number one, the nuclear family, which represent the conjugal family, or the family where there is a father, there is a mother, and there are children. So procreation takes place. So for some people, they are husband, wife, and they have a child, or they can have two, they can have three, they can have four, they can have five, as they have the capacity. So that is the nuclear family. Mr. and Mrs. Daniels has given back to Joanne Daniels, Peter Daniels, John Daniels. From that nuclear family, we have second kind of family, or the type of family, we have what we call the extended families. You know, I'm just laying off this foundation because by the time we begin to dwell in the issue subject of relationship, these are the things, for example, if someone wants to get married, you need to have an understanding of the family you are getting married into. Most of the problems or issues that we have in our relationships today are tied to the word, I did not know. But ignorance is not an excuse like they say in the law. Even God Almighty in Proverbs 19:2 says, for a soul to be without knowledge, it is not good. So I'm starting from this point of view so that we can understand. It's like which of us intending to build a tower will not sit down first to count the cost, whether we have sufficient. And you know, in Matthew chapter 19, the Bible says, when Jesus highlighted some of these things, they said, oh, if the case of a man is like this, then it is not good that one should get married. And Jesus said, well, what is impossible with men is possible with God. So God has an ideal template for us. So extended family includes at least three generations of people. So, if you have the Daniels, you will have the grandparents, you will have probably other siblings of Daniels on both sides who are married, and then you will have grandchildren. So, that's what is called extended family. It is still an extension of the Daniels, but maybe I, as the Mr. Daniel, I have about four other siblings. So those four other siblings who are married, they have produced generations. So my family is extended. Mrs. Daniel also has siblings. And those of those in our siblings who are also married. So when we all come together, we are extended family to the right or to the left. And then third kind of family or type of family is what we call the joint family. So the joint family, when all this category of people come together, whether siblings, their spouses, their children, we have what we call joint family. So the family is the single most important influence in anyone's life. The family. God is interested in it. In fact, most of our civilization begins with the family. The values, the culture that we picked while growing up started from the family. Education started from the family. That's why you find out, at least in Africa here, there are many instances where our grandparents may not even have been educated, but they know the values that are communicated to their kids, and those ones are able to communicate it to the next generation. So the family is the most important influence in anyone's life. So if you want to get married, please consider that. Because you are getting set to influence generations to come. And if you're already married, that's why you and I can misbehave. Because whatever our actions are, is also influencing someone, whether positively or negatively. So the family is the most important influence in anyone's life. From everyone's first moment of life till final breath, we depend on our family unit. That's why it's called the support system, to protect, to provide, to pilot us through life. I mean, there are three levels of relationship. When you and I are born, we were dependent on our parents. And then by reason of training, by reason of life processes, we became independent on them. And then we'll move to the second level, which we oscillate on. We become interdependent. When we have our own family, they still maintain their own family and every other person. We are interdependent on each other. But that is our support system. Whether you are married or single, you have a support system to protect, to provide, and to pilot you through life. Family unit provide all our members with security, identity, values, regardless of their age or ages. So, I like to say that there are four basic functions every family performs. Number one, socialization. Secondly, reproduction. Thirdly, economic development. And fourthly, emotional security. I go through that again, socialization. You'll interact. It's in the family unit that they teach or they have taught us how not to be selfish, how to show love, how to serve, how to be responsible. So, socialization. Secondly, reproduction. We grow up and we give back. We extend that family or extend that generation. Thirdly, economic. Economic provision through the family. We are taught to work. We were not taught laziness. I mean, there are things that in many culture, in many family, they say that, oh, your hand is a proof that you are productive to work. It's a sign of productivity. If you have able hands, even in the family, in the culture, even those who don't have, who have gotten their hands amputated, they still use means. They were trained for economic prosperity, as it were, and then emotional security. Because in families, you find out there are times we laugh, there are times we cry, there are times we need counsel, there are times we need wisdom. So what is the characteristic of a healthy family? What is the characteristic of a healthy family? One, parents take leadership role. Parents are mothers, so they take leadership role. So if you want to, you are preparing to get married, please understand that. You are signing up for leadership as a man. As a woman, you are also signing up for leadership because there are things you will do in the home system. So the family is where you see parents taking leadership role. We will go into the details of all that because I know that in our own modern days, we have absentee fathers, absentee mothers, but we will get into those social issues later on. And then second characteristic is that such family units are seen as healthy, are seen as important. Everyone in the family is a stakeholder. So everyone is equally important. And then third characteristic is open communication. Open communication. People are free to express themselves, express their potentials. And then fourthly, conflict is allowed. So conflict is not a negative thing. It's an opportunity for growth and maturity. And then fifthly, there is an attitude of service. As I begin to tie this up this morning, let me just introduce something to us, which is contrary to what I have explained earlier on. It's the modern definition of the family. So what you hear in the last 50, 60 years is this definition. The family consists of two or more people who have agreed to be related by birth, marriage, adoption, interests, common interests, or passion, residing in the same housing unit. So, the current definition of what a family unit is does not encompass even the family diversity that we have in many cultures. So, what is God's purpose for the family? PF said it earlier on. It's a spiritual relationship which brings glory to God, why he pours his beauty and honor upon that unit. The family is a union of humanity and divinity. The plan and purposes of the family is to prepare every stakeholder for a spirit-filled, productive life in Christ Jesus. Bringing him glory as a model in every generation. Jesus displayed that. In Luke 2:52, the Bible says, he grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. He had favor with God and with men. So ideally, a deep family of God is where every individual grows in wisdom, grows in stature, having that robust relationship with God, and then with one another. So the family is the foundational institution of the society. It's ordained by God. It's guided by His word. The family is constituted by marriage. There is nothing like we are lashing on, we are living in, without any sense of commitment. What makes the family to be called a family is that institution of marriage, because marriage creates boundaries around our lives. And it helps us to be able to have what we call family values, family culture, and we are able to imbibe that, and we are able to transmit that to the next generation. You will agree with me today that there are notable family issues all around us. We begin to dig deep into this. And then the common challenges that this modern family face, or we face, all face today, there are challenges of death, separation and divorce, parenting issues, pressure at work and at school, unemployment, financial problem, illness, disability of a family member, sudden death of a family member, drugs, alcohol, gambling, addictions, emotional problems like depression, anxiety, anger, grief, guilt, low self-esteem, violence in terms of abuse, rape, incest, domestic violence, lack of social support. These are the crises that we have in our hands today. But I close this morning with what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 8. He says, in the beginning, it was not so. Something has gone wrong with the family unit. We are trusting God that all through this series, I will be able to address some of those issues. I pray for you today. I pray for your family today. I pray for everyone that is connected to you today, that there will be supply of the Spirit to build an ideal family that God has in mind and has created for us. Father, we thank you this morning for everyone watching, everyone listening. I guess there is just someone watching us. The man is wearing something like a white top, and the lady is wearing bluish top. In the last few days, it has been war in your home. But I sense in my heart that God brought this message across your way this morning so that you can see from His perspective. And I pray that the balm of Gilead will pour His healing over your heart, and where you need to reconcile, you will come to terms and agreement. I pray for healing over that family. I rebuke you, Satan. Take your dirty hands off that family. I declare the peace of our God. I declare the restoration of our God over that family. What you are actually arguing over, it's just a little thing, and then it has generated into greater things. But I want you to just make a switch this morning and see that it's just a distraction. That thing is a distraction. By the time you talk about it, you find out that it was a non-issue in the first place. Father, thank you for families around the world. Thank you because what you desired for us is your peace. So I pray that over families this morning, that your peace that passes all understanding will keep our hearts and our minds together in Christ Jesus. Thank you for this beautiful week. Your beauty, your glory is seen over us, over our family, over the works of our hands. Thank you for all that you have done for us. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudratabiola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,